please, and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 4, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 4. Begin verse number 1. Paul, of course, is writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. With me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, till the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Then shall every man have praise of God." I want us to look at verse number 2, where the Bible says that, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And I want you to understand that God's given you a life. A life. One life. That's all you have is one life. And you're responsible for what you do with that life. You are a steward of this life that God has given you. And the most important thing that you have is to be faithful to the Lord. And I want to preach this morning on be found faithful. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the time you've given to us. And Lord, we thank you for how our hearts have already been blessed and strengthened through the music. And Lord, we ask you now to be with us as we look into thy word in these next few moments that we have together. I pray most of all, Lord, that you would be pleased. Christ be glorified. Pray that the church would be edified. Lord, I pray that you'd help that one that may be here without Christ as Savior, that this day they would come to know thee and have an understanding of your love for them. And I pray for those of us that are saved that would be strengthened and helped by your word. Lord, I pray that as we go away, Lord, that we would have been obedient unto thy voice, to thy mercy. We'll thank you and we'll praise you. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. A steward. The Bible says it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. We need to understand that a steward is someone who managed the affairs of the master's household. We've all been given a responsibility for which we'll be held accountable. And the main requirement for this accountability is to be faithful. Faithful to the master. Faithful to the giver. Faithful to the one to whom it truly belongs. The Bible teaches us, Paul was saying, that I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. The Bible goes on and says, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart." So in other words, the Bible teaches us our life is going to come back before us. And when the Lord comes, we're all going to be given an account to Him. The Bible's clear about this. The Bible helps us to understand that He has given us one life to live. Somebody said, you know, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that's been said for years and years and years, but how true that is. All that matters is what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know, if you say, "Well, I was a good father," you're not a good father if you're not obedient to the Lord. "I was a good mother." You're not a good mother unless you're obedient to the Lord. Now, you may do all the responsibilities of the mother, but a good mother teaches her children about the Lord. A good father teaches his children about the Lord and about the things of God. You say, "Well, my children are already grown and passed." Well, it's not too late. Be a steward of the life that you have left. Be responsible and realize you're going to have to take an account of what God has given you. But if we're going to be found faithful this morning, I've got a few things that we need to be found faithful to. First of all, we need to be found faithful to the heavenly calling. To the heavenly calling. I want you to turn with me to the book of Revelation, the last chapter, Revelation chapter number 22. If you will look with me there, please. Revelation chapter number 22 and verse number 17. Revelation chapter 22, verse number 17. The Bible says, as John is closing out this vision, this revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." The Bible is teaching us that there is a call from heaven to all of us. There is a call for us to be saved. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is telling you and calling you today and saying, come to the Lord. The bride, the church, that's us, isn't it? We're here. Do you know that we're trying to stand between you and hell for those of you that do not know Christ as Savior? We're one of the obstacles to try to keep you out of hell today. And there's a call from heaven that says, come, come. And if you're going to be what God wants you to be, a steward of this life that God has given you, you need to be faithful to the heavenly calling. You need to hear the voice of the Lord as He says, I sent my only begotten Son to die on the cross for your sins. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible teaches us, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you realize? I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you have or how little you have. I don't care what kind of car you drive. I don't care what kind of home you live in. I don't care if you think you're a good person, if you think you're just as ungodly as can be. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. We're all in the same class of people, sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. There's a payment for your sin. This payment is death. But the Bible says in Romans 5:12, but God commendeth His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, Jesus truly paid it all, didn't He? Every sin that's ever been committed, when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, they were paid for. And now the Spirit and the bride say, come. Well, who can come? The Bible says, let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. That's who can come. Today, do you desire to drink of water, the water of the well of life? Would you like to have eternal life? Would you like to live forever in a place of glory, in a place of wonder, in a place of amazing grace? Would you like to live forever in a place where the walls are jasper and the street is gold and the gates are pearl and there's a throne with the Lord sitting on that throne, and proceeding out of that throne is a pure crystal river? How many would like to live in a place like that? By the way, there's only two places for eternity. It's the place I just described, or it's a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's a place of a lake of fire. It's a place where the worm dieth not. It's a place where the torment and the torture never ends. It's a place of unending horror and agony and pain. It's a horrible place. It's a place called hell. But there's a call from heaven today that says, come. If you're going to be found faithful with the life that God has given you, you'll be found faithful to heaven's calling. Hearing the voice. Believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins. Believing that He was buried and believing that He rose again the third day. And by faith, trusting Him. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made to salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's pretty good, isn't it? You know what's so good? Is that whosoever will. Whosoever. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have. You remember when I said that? Or how little you have. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. It doesn't matter if you had to walk to church. It doesn't matter if you live in a fine home or if you live in a mobile home. It does not matter where you live, where you abide. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The call from heaven today is to come. The plea from the Lord Jesus Christ is, I paid for your sins. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, what keeps people from being saved? You ever wonder why people could say, well, you know, I've never been saved. What keeps pride? Did you know the opposite of faith is pride? Honestly. Because faith is is looking unto Jesus. Pride is looking unto self. Faith is believing in Him. Pride is believing in self. And I'm going to tell you something. Pride goes before the fall. At the end of your pride-filled life is hell. But there's a God in heaven that's calling to you. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come. But preacher, you just don't understand the life that I've lived. You don't understand the things that I've done. Jesus says, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. He doesn't say, whosoever will that's never committed this or that's never done this or that's that. He says, whosoever. I love salvation because if anybody could be saved, then that includes me. But if there were stipulations, then I want you to know, I'm afraid I wouldn't be saved today. But you say, preacher, I'm a good person. I try to do the right things, and you know, I've been a good son, a good daughter. I've been a good husband. I've been a good wife. I've been a good parent. I've done this and I've done that, and I've been a good neighbor to people, and I've given to charity. And the Bible says that you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, amen. Not by works, which we have done, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. He saved us. See, the call from heaven is that you have one life to live. And what you do with that life is going to depend on your eternity. If you receive Christ, guess where you go? Heaven. But if you reject Christ, you go to hell. There's no way to try to make that sound easier or nicer or sweeter. I remember, I'm not opposed to this term. Because certainly I think in the context it can be used, but I hear people say they don't want to say the word hell in the fact that that's where people are going, so they'll say a Christless eternity. And that's true. Anywhere where the Lord Jesus Christ is not, that'd be a terrible place to be, wouldn't it? But I want you to know, the Bible teaches us there's a place called hell, and it's a terrible place. And God didn't prepare that place for you. He prepared it for the devil and all his angels. But the devil has tricked people into rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friends, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, the call from heaven is to come to me. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith in Him. The Spirit says come. The bride says come. Let him that heareth say come. Who can come? Let him that is athirst. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So we need to be faithful to heaven's call. We need to come to Him through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And by faith, put your belief in Him and ask Jesus Christ to come and to live in your life, to be your Savior. Then heaven will be your home. Not only do we need to be found faithful to heaven's call, we need to be found faithful to the house of God. We need to be found faithful to the house of God. And the Bible says, and I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 25. As a matter of fact, let's just begin in verse number 19. The Bible says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. After we're saved, we become brethren, right? Become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us that we're able to enter into the holy place by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that. I get to go into the Holy of Holies and I get to talk to my Heavenly Father, not because I'm so good, but because Christ's blood allows me an entrance into heaven. The Bible says, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, that's the believers, that's what that's talking about, high priest over the house of God, the believers, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, and let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now listen, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So the Bible has given us some things here. As believers, we have some precious promises. The Bible says that we are able to enter into the Holy of Holies by a new and living way, which is through the flesh, through the veil of flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember in the Old Testament, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies, and he would do that once a year, and he would take in and he would make the sacrifice and the offering, and he would go before God, before the throne of grace. He would go before God at that mercy seat, and he would talk to the Lord. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the Bible teaches us not only was the veil of his flesh rent, but the veil that separated the outside from the inside in that Holy of Holies. When Christ died on the cross, the veil was rent from top to bottom, opening up the way for all who believe to go into the Holy of Holies. Think about that. That's what the Lord has done for us. Not only did He save us or give us the privilege of salvation, He says, now you can come in and you can talk with me. I don't have to go through some kind of a priest because we're our own priest. We believe in the priesthood of the believer. When we're saved, we have access to the throne of God. The Bible goes on and says that we have an high priest over the house of God. And then it says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. In other words, the Bible says this is what we have now that we're saved. And we need to be faithful. We need to hold fast to the profession of our faith. We need to consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Well, how do you do that? How do you draw near with a true heart and full assurance? How do you hold fast the profession of our faith? How do you consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works? Well, here's what the Bible says. By not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. We need to be found faithful to the house of God. You know, there are times I preach messages like this, and I think of people that come to church, and then they don't come to church, and you know, some come one service or something like that, and good people I love, people I care about, and I always think, you know, I hope they're not upset with me for preaching something like this. But then when I look in the Bible, I find, Lord, I believe I would rather have them upset with me than you upset with me. Look, sometimes our health does not allow it. Sometimes our lives, our work, there's things that hinder us. There's absolutely no doubt about that. We all understand that. But if I'm going to be the pastor, the preacher that God wants me to be, I have to tell you that we must be found faithful as the stewards of the life that God has given us. And if you have eternal life, being stewards of that eternal life of being found faithful to the house of God. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. So what happens when you come to church? Does it exhort one another? Does it help others? Let me ask you something. Those of you that come, let me ask you this. Does it encourage you when you have a bigger crowd or a smaller crowd? Are you more exhorted when we have several people or just a handful of people? Now, I said this morning, if we make numbers the goal in our Sunday schools, if we make numbers the goal, there's going to be some times of disappointment. Numbers cannot be the goal. And we have to look unto Jesus. And even when the crowd's low, we have to still look unto Jesus. But I want to tell you something. If you want to help the brethren out, you'll be faithful to the house of God. You'll be faithful to the house of God. I told my wife just last night, I said, you know, people don't understand. People just think it doesn't matter if they miss. But do you know what it does? You know what I do when I sit around and I start thinking about this stuff? And I start thinking, Lord, where are they at? What have I done? What have I preached that's made them upset? How come this is, you know, you think about that. Or, Lord, are they upset with somebody else in the church? Do I need to deal with something? You know, you just wonder. And then people will come back. I mean, they'll be gone 2 or 3 months sometimes. And they come back and just like nothing ever happened. And I'm like, you know, you call and you check and you leave messages. I'm like, how can it just be nothing ever happened and you miss all that time? Are you being a good steward? Are we being good stewards if that's the case? Are we being good stewards? My dad used to say to me, I remember before I was saved, I'd get up on Sunday morning, you know, stay up a little bit late Sunday night. I used to watch Saturday Night Wrestling come on at 12 o'clock. It was good, you know, wrestling. It was back before wrestling was as big time as it is now. And I'd stay up, and all I had was a little black and white TV. And I would turn it on channel 13, which was in Asheville, North Carolina. And I, you know, you couldn't do it. You had to stand there. And I mean, I loved it. I loved wrestling. Crazy, you know. Now I laugh at it. I loved it then. I laugh at it now whenever I see anything about it. But I'd stand there, and I had them rabbit ears because we didn't have cable or anything like that. And I'd hold on to them rabbit ears and sit there and watch wrestling because if I didn't hold on to it, then, you know. So you're not going to fall asleep if you're sitting there holding on to them rabbit ears. So I'd sit there and I'd hold on to them rabbit ears and I'd watch that wrestling. And I'd get up the next morning. You know, Dad had gotten right with the Lord. She would have killed us. You know, all them years, he wasn't really in the Lord's will. You know, we went to church every now and then. We didn't go to church a whole lot. But then he got right with the Lord. And then all of a sudden, we had to start going to church all the time. And I'd get up in the morning and I'd think, good night, I'm tired. My eyes are heavy. And I'd think, I sure would be nice to sleep in a little bit. So I'd say, Dad, I'm sick. He'd say, throw up and prove it. So I'd go in there and stand in the shower. Say, you know, he said, it's important for you to go to church, son. Now, I made a profession of faith when I was 90 years old. But I had such a problem, I'd try to get out of going to church because I really wasn't saved. When I was 18, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Have I felt like coming to church every time that the church doors are open? No, I've not felt like it, but I promise you one thing. I don't have a problem coming to church now. Now you think, well, that's because you're the preacher, that's because you're the pastor. I want you to understand this. I believe any Christian that believes the Bible and wants to be a good steward of the life that God has given us, we want to be found faithful to the house of God. You say, preacher, I just don't, you know, you're trying to force. No, I'm not trying to force anything. It's between you and the Lord. You're not going to answer to me, you're going to answer to God. Now, if you're a Sunday school teacher, you're going to answer to me. Or if you have a certain responsibility, you're going to answer to me simply because you've got to be faithful. I can't expect other people to be faithful if you're not faithful. But we don't have that problem for the most part, do we? All our Sunday school teachers are usually here. Thank the Lord for that. I'm grateful for it. I knew this wouldn't be a hallelujah shouting message today. But in all honesty, I believe it's a needed message today. We need to be faithful to the house of God. We need to understand what it does, not only for ourselves, what it does for others. The Bible says, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. In the last days, people are going to get further and further and further away from the Lord. The world's going to get further away from God. And the closer we see that day coming, the more we realize that day coming, the more we need to understand we need to be in the house of God to find our strength, to encourage the other brethren, and to show others in the outside world what they're missing out on. Look, I know business takes us away. Life sometimes throws things at us. But the truth of the matter is this, that if we're going to be good stewards of what God has given us, we're going to be found faithful, first of all, to heaven's call. That's the first thing we have to answer to is heaven's call. We have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But then after that, I think the easiest thing, one of the easiest things to do as far as being a Christian is go to church. One of the easiest things. It's one of the easiest things. Takes a little bit of time. You say, boy, preacher, you know, that's if you count Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, that's 5 hours a week. I'm sorry. I hate to make you sacrifice that much. I hate to make you feel guilty about not being in the house of God 5 hours a week. I hate, you know, it's just a terrible thought to think that we can spend 40, 45, 50 hours a week at our job. I guess we just love our job. So much. That's pretty tough to think about. Well, preacher, I have to do that. You're right. You don't have to come to church if you don't care about what God thinks. You say, preacher, you're being difficult. Yep. I'm being truthful. I'm going to preach this. I think this is going to be a quarterly message. You want me to put it on the schedule? I'm never going to tell you when I'm going to preach it again. Third thing we need to be faithful to is the harvest. The harvest. I want you to look with me, Matthew chapter number 9, verse 35. Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 35. The Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted, and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." We see the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ here. The Bible says, and Jesus went. We see the multitudes that he saw. Verse number 26, he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And then we see the message. The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. I want you to understand this morning that we, first of all, we are found faithful to heaven's call. We trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Then we're to be found faithful to the house of God. And as we're found faithful to the house of God, I believe God will put it in our hearts to be faithful to the harvest. In other words, every person we meet, we need to realize needs the Lord. You need to understand what I'm saying? I'm not, look, this message is for me. This is especially for me. I talk to people, I witness to people, I try to lead people to the Lord, but sometimes I really forget, and I don't have the compassion that I ought to have. Sometimes I see people and I think, good night, look at them. You ever wonder what would happen to that person that you meet, that just, you know, not somebody that everybody would want to be around if they would get right with God? We had a fellow that I worked with, worked in the building that I worked in. I'll never forget. I invited him to church. We talked to him about the Lord, and he worked in this building, and then he and another lady, they got married later on, and she worked in this building. And I'll never forget. I was talking to him, and I'd witnessed to him and talked to him. We weren't on the same crew. They worked in operations, and I was in maintenance. And I remember talking. Sure enough, they came to church. And you just begin to watch God work in their life. He was working in his life, and you could see it. He'd fidget. You know what I'm talking about? He'd start fidgeting. And then he'd leave. He'd come back. And we had revival services. You know, and all this happened. He started coming 2 or 3 weeks before, and I'm telling you, it was working on him and working on him and working on him. He had hair halfway down his back. It was a little bit stringy. I mean, he was not unclean. He just, you know how they keep their hair kind of wet and let it fall, and that's how he had it. And he was a big old guy. I mean, good night. He was this big, and he was this broad, and hands this long, you know. I'm telling you, he's a big old guy. One night during revival meeting, I'll never forget, the preacher was preaching Invitation Time Come, and you seen him over there. He was gripping the pew, and he was weeping, and he was crying. And somebody went over and said, "Can I pray with you? Wouldn't you like to know the Lord?" And he started shaking that head. And he came forward and he got saved. Now here's a fellow that used some pretty foul language. Here's a fellow that's pretty rough. Here's a fellow that, you know, that just, if you knew him, you've all met people like what I'm trying to describe. And I'll never forget, he got saved. And of course, you know the story, came in. His hair was a little bit shorter. And the next week it was a little bit shorter. And then before you knew it, I mean, his hair was about like my hair, you know? But I'll never forget what happened. I went into work, and his boss came to me and said, "I don't know what y'all have done, but I've never seen such a change in a man." And all I could think of is, it wasn't us that did anything. It was the Lord. But somebody was faithful in the harvest. Because I wasn't the only one that came to our church that was working on him and talking to him. There was another fellow that was on my crew that came to our church, and he was always saying, "Saint Terry, you know, this is the greatest thing that could happen. You ought to come to church." And finally he came. Now some people would think, well, this guy wouldn't be the guy that you'd want. But this is exactly who the Lord Jesus died on the cross for. It's not up to us to judge who is to be saved and who's not to be saved. It's up to us to give the gospel message and to be faithful to the harvest. You know that person in your office or in your neighborhood that gets on your nerves the worst? You're thinking of them right now. Can I tell you something? Jesus died for them. And if they're not saved, salvation could be exactly what makes them from being the least liked to the sweetest, kindest of all. Look, we can't look and say, all right, I'm witnessing this one and I'm not this one and I'm this one. No, we have to ask the Lord, open up the door, give me the wisdom, give me the words, and give me the compassion. And help me to say what needs to be said. By the way, I know we're not going to be able to witness to everybody that we ever meet. But if we ask God for guidance, He will show us who we need to witness to. And then finally, I've got to hurry. We need to be found faithful to heaven's call, to the heavenly call, and to the house of God, to the harvest, and we need to be faithful to the home. We've lost this in our society. We've lost this. I want you to look with me, Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 21. The Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, as of His flesh and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be joined, as shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. I believe we need to be found faithful to the home. If we're Christians, we ought to have a Christian home. Husbands, listen to me. I know we don't have a lot of men in here this morning. But husbands, the Bible teaches us about the important role that we have. Do you realize that God has called you to be the spiritual leader and the head of your house? Do you realize that God has called you to love your wife as Christ loved the church? How far did the Lord go with this love? The Bible teaches us, Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's unending, isn't it? See, we have to understand this, that God has given us responsibility to be found faithful in the home. Being found faithful in the home is being what God tells us to be in the home. That's what being a good steward of the life that He's given us. I'm to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And I want you to know, from the bottom of my heart, what I'm saying is this, I would give my life for my wife and for my children. I don't think I would have a problem with that. You know, but that's because of Christ in me. I don't want to be so selfish. You know what a great thing is for me as a husband? Is that Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, we're in the house of God together. Is that before every meal we pray. When we're out at a restaurant, we pray together. We're to be faithful. And by the way, we've got some things we've got to work on in our home. Don't look at us and say, you're the example. No, I'm just telling you, we've got some things we've got to work on. I've talked to my wife about this, about me personally being what I need to be as the husband and as the head. You know? But we need this. The Bible teaches us about the wives. Wives are to reverence the husband. That doesn't mean that they're a doormat. But they're to realize the position that God has given them in their life. And to reverence that. But I believe what the Bible says when it talks about wives submit to your husbands, I don't think you can forget what verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives submit to your husbands. So when you're submitting to one another in the fear of God, then there's no problem of getting the right order in the home. And then it talks about the children. They're to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In the Lord. Look at me. We've got several teenagers in here this morning. Did you know that you're going to stand before God from what you're hearing right now and what you've already been taught in your life about how you respond to your parents, and I believe even your grandparents and others? But the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. By the way, parents, you ought to teach your children what's right. The Bible says, in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. In other words, if I were to tell my son to go rob a bank, do you think that's in the Lord? But if I tell my son, son, you need to be in church, then that's in the Lord, isn't it? Son, you need to do your homework, that's in the Lord. That's a responsibility. You need to do this, you know? And by the way, I need to be the example. If I'm going to tell him to be in church, I need to be in church. We have so many parents today that they don't really care enough about their kids. They'll tell them, well, you need to be in church, but if you really believed it, you'd be in church. That's good preaching. Amen. I want us to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're closing. I know it's a different kind of message than what I just preached differently. The Bible says, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But it also says, in verse 5, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Then shall every man have praise to God. Now, this is what I want you to understand, the praise of God. This is what I want you to understand. I'm just giving you the truth, and I'm not standing in judgment of you. I promise you that. I don't know why you don't come to church when you don't come to church. Or sometimes I do, but you understand what I'm saying. But there is a day coming when the judge will come. And the Bible says that he will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. In other words, you know all those excuses that you may think are legitimate excuses that will be brought to light. You know the reason we don't go soul winning, or we don't witness at work, or we don't, you know, because, well, I'm backwards, I'm shy, I'm quiet. You know, I've had people say, well, you know, it's just not my personality. Well, that's been disobedient. It's not about your personality. It's about what the Bible says. You may not be the most outspoken person when it comes to witnessing, but if the Lord Jesus saved us, then we're all witnesses. We have a responsibility, and it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. And every excuse that we have, and they may be legitimate as all excuses can be, and I want you to know, when the Lord comes to judge, you'll not have a problem. But if you're just hiding something, he'll bring it to light. If you're just making an excuse, he'll bring it to light. This will not be the most popular message I ever preach, but it's just as pertinent of a message that I will ever preach. Be found faithful. We're living in a day when the world is falling apart around us, and we need to be found faithful. Our neighbors need to see, when everything is going wrong all around us, that we are found faithful. Our coworkers need to see that when it seems like life is just falling apart at the seams for everybody else, that we have a strength within that's unlike anything else they've ever seen, because we've been found faithful. I've watched people with sicknesses. I've watched people go through tragedies. I've watched people go through heartaches. And I've thought, how in the world can you go through that with that kind of strength? And every time I've talked to them, they said, the Lord's been with me. And they were found faithful. And I've been strengthened. Tonight's going to roll around. Some of you will probably come back because of guilt, because of what I've said. If you do, that's fine, because the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But begin to understand why I said it and what the necessity of it is. Begin to understand that this is something that brings rejoicing not only to the house of God, but to the Lord Himself. when we tell others about the Lord, begin to realize it's what Christ commanded us to do. And then when we go to our homes and the husband has his rightful place and the wife has her rightful place and the children have their rightful place, and pretty soon you have a home with the Bible as your guide, you begin to find out that there's joy in that. There's joy in that. And by the way, what is the goal? The goal is this. The Bible says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is much." The Bible says, "His Lord," small l, it's a parable, "said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord," small l. You have to realize it wasn't talking about heaven, but it was talking about the joy of thy Lord, talking about being a steward of our Lord's here on earth. You want to know what makes a good relationship at work is when you're the right kind of employee to your employer, right? Because you do what they say and in the right way. But it's the same thing with us and the Lord. It makes a joyful relationship between us and God when we're found faithful. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the time you've given to us. And Lord, I pray that you've helped us today and encouraged us and strengthened us to do thy will. There's no doubt, Lord, it's difficult for me to preach things like this.